Well, today, if you want a title for the message, the title for the message is called Running Your Race. And I've kind of been inspired about this phrase about how I run my race and what does that look like over maybe like the past 4 to 5 months, just for myself personally. So I thought I'd share with you guys what I've been discovering. And my race looks completely different to yours. And yeah, we're each in our own race. God has designed a specific race for each of us to be running in this life. And so to discover what that is and then to go after it with all your might. So that's kind of been the journey that God has been taking me on. So if you have your Bibles with you, I would like you to turn to Hebrews 12. This is our main passage for this morning. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so I feel like this passage of scripture, these three verses, have some real keys as to how to run our race, the specific race that God has for us. And I've often read this scripture as like a circle scripture. So I start with the end, which says, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so I ask myself, am I weary? Have I lost my heart, my energy, my passion? And then I go back to the beginning, which says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and I go through the verse and I read it, and then the end is, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so I go around in this cycle and I say, the end result is that I should not be weary and I should not be losing heart. And so that's what I want to see happen this morning, is that we discover some keys for how to live our lives in the race rather than on the sidelines, and how to run our race without losing heart and growing weary. Because I feel like there are a lot of Christians that are sitting on the sidelines of their own race. And they haven't got that intentionality and that passion that they once had when they started out. So this verse has some real keys for us. The first thing it says is that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Then it moves on to say, let us throw off everything that hinders. Then it says, let us run with perseverance. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And the end result is so that we do not grow weary and lose heart. So we're going to go through some of these key areas. But as I was thinking about this morning, I got this picture, and I'm usually influenced my prophetic pictures by the surroundings that I've been in. And I've been at an airport dropping Ray and Pam off. And usually if you've been on a long distance travel and you've got lots and lots of luggage, they're very, very nice to you. And they have these moving walkways. Have any of you guys seen those? Where you don't have to do much, you just stand there and it moves you. And so you're just standing there with all your luggage, waiting for it to move you along. And I kind of got that picture that some people have been just standing and they've got all their luggage around them. They're not running, they're not doing anything, they're just standing there, exhausted with all their luggage, and they're weary and they've lost their heart, they've lost their passion. And I thought about that picture, and God's mercy takes us on that conveyor belt, and yes, we get to the finish line. That's the beauty and the amazingness of God's mercy, is that by not doing anything with all our baggage, with everything that we are carrying, God takes us in God's mercy along that conveyor belt. And if you do nothing, it's all right. You will drift over to the end. But I really feel like God has so much more for us than that, than just to be standing there, drifting to the finish line. There is an actual race, a specific race that each one of us is supposed to be running in, a specific destiny and calling that is on each of our lives that we're supposed to be intently pursuing and going after. And I felt that today that some people were going to get off that conveyor belt of cookie-cutter Christianity, of just drifting, and that they were actually going to discover what it is that God had for them and start pursuing it intently. We have the amazing privilege to be able to run our unique race. And I want to read the same passage of scripture for you, but from the Message Bible, and I love this. It reads, "Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls." And I just love that fresh take on that scripture, that like, wow, the passion, you can feel it in that translation. So how should we be running our race? Well, the first key I want to look at is the realization that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I'm not sure if you think about this much, but I do. Right now, the millions and millions of people that have gone before us, they're cheering us on. That in and of itself should be enough to get you through your day, your week, your month, your year. The fact that, I don't know, pick your favorite Bible hero, David, Ruth, Esther, the Apostle Paul. Right now, they are cheering you on. They're cheering on the whole of humanity. Go for it. Run your race. That right there is enough to stop you from being weary and losing heart, I feel. Like by the time you get through all these points, the end result of so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, that should be eradicated right there. And just the simple realization right now that there is the cloud of witnesses cheering us on removes all doubt. All doubt. In the chapter beforehand, it's filled with the men and women of faith, and you can read it in your own time, but it just goes through person after person in the Old Testament who was filled with faith. And these are the people who have blazed the trail for us. They are cheering us on. This gives us motivation that we are not alone in our race. There are people who have gone before you, and there are people who will come after you. So right now, we're in this moment of history, the year 2015. There have been many more years ahead of us, and there are going to be many more years that were behind us. Yeah, that makes sense. So we are in a very short little slither of time. So there are people behind us who are cheering us on, and we are creating the legacy that the people after us are going to be walking in. That's mind-boggling to me, the fact that we're part of such a bigger plan than our Monday to Friday every week. There's so much more that's happening that I don't think we have a conscious reality of what's actually going on. You are walking in somebody's inheritance right now. Everything that you take for granted, the fact that you can pray to God, that you get up in the morning and you have a direct relationship with God. Someone hundreds and hundreds of years ago was contending for that because there was the belief that only the certain so-and-so could hear from God. The things that you take for granted right now, someone contended for that. You are walking in their inheritance. And the things that you are contending God for right now is going to be the inheritance that someone else is going to be walking in. So who are your heroes in the faith? Think about how they blazed a trail before you. So you can come up with your own list of some of your personal trailblazers that you love. Some of mine personal favorites is Moses. And the reason for this is it's mind-boggling to me the fact that he could lead 4 million people in a desert. The amount of organization that would have took is mind-boggling to me. How do you tell 4 million people, oh, we're moving tomorrow, pack up your tents, your belongings, like it just blows my mind. It's like one person trying to lead the country of New Zealand in a desert. No communication devices. You couldn't text them all the directions. I'm like, that guy was incredible. Absolutely incredible. So he's one of my heroes in the faith. Catherine Coleman is another one of my personal favorites. The level of sensitivity that she walked with the Holy Spirit. And yeah, right now, she's cheering all of humanity on. She's like, keep going, keep going. This is enough to shake us out of... Seriously, it is. another one of my favorites, C.S. Lewis. He was an incredible writer with so much depth and wisdom. I loved him as a child growing up reading his stories, but now as an adult, the depth and wisdom in his writings are incredible. William Wilberforce, another personal favorite of mine. Not just the fact that he had a heart to abolish the slave trade, but also his personal mission was to abolish the slave trade and see the reformation of society and manners, which I think is incredible. These are some of my heroes of the faith. You guys go find your own. But these guys are the ones who have trailblazed the path before you that you are now walking on. Wherever your passion is, whatever your destiny is, there are people who have gone before you who are cheering you on right now. Find out who they are. For example, if you have a heart for justice and, you know, that's burning in your heart, find out who are the people that have gone before you who had a heart for justice. A good place to start would be the book of Judges in the Bible. Find out what made a judge good, what made a judge bad. Study Deborah, study Samuel, study people who have, you know, been creating the laws in our land for the past 100 years. Who are these people that have trailblazed the path? The simple awareness that we have millions of people cheering us on right now should inspire us to run with passion and intentionality. And that's not to even mention the angels that are watching right now, and I can assure you they are cheering us on too. So between the great cloud of witnesses, the Holy Spirit inside of us, and the angels around us, you are on a winning streak, I can tell you. The second key, if you look back in Hebrews 12, says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I want us to turn to Isaiah 52 briefly, and I just want to share a quick passage there. You might want to keep your finger in Hebrews 12 because we will be going back to it. So Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. This passage has always interested me in that there's a lot of doing taking place in this passage of scripture. And it's the same in Hebrews 12. You'll notice that in Isaiah 52 here, it says, shake off your dust, free yourself from the chains on your neck. And in Hebrews 12, it doesn't say, lay it down. It says, throw it off. It's a very forceful thing that's happening here. When we are throwing off everything that hinders, it's not the, oh, I'll lay this down to you, Jesus. It's a forceful, I'm saying no to that thing. That's not going to hold me back anymore. Even our lovely, gentle verse that we like, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Have you guys read the definition of the word cast? I have it here. It means to throw or hurl, fling, to throw off or away. That's a very sort of violent action to me, casting. I've never done this before, but if someone's fishing and they cast their rod into the ocean, it's not the little dropping it down, that they're literally hurling that thing away. And it's that idea as well, to let us throw off everything that hinders. It's not the, oh, I'll lay it down for you, Jesus, here you go. It's like, no, I'm not letting that thing obstruct my ability to run after you, God. In order to run our race with purpose, there are things that have to be thrown off. Different mindsets, ways of thinking, habits, beliefs, attitudes, worries, and cares. All these things, it takes a purpose and intentionality to say no to that and yes to him. I've always had this thing for people's posture. I think it was all the years of ballet training, but I've often looked at people slouching at tables and I'm like, wait until you're 80 and let's see what you look like. It's true, people's posture, and I've had years and years and years of training of just elongating the body and just standing up straight and sucking it in and sucking it up and just standing there. And it teaches you, it's discipline of how to hold yourself. And our posture reveals so much about how we feel about ourselves. If someone's slouched over and they're just walking through the day, head down, shoulders up and curved over, it tells you a lot about what they think about themselves, what they think about their environment, and what they think about others. But if you have someone that's shoulders back, head up, it's a total different feeling and approach that they are releasing into the environment about how they feel about themselves. So what is your spiritual posture? Are you slouched over? Are you burdened down with the weights and burdens of life? Is there something that you need to purposely throw off and say, no more, no more? It is time to throw off the things that are holding us back and are keeping us hunched over. This takes intentionality, discipline, and purpose. Discipline your mind. Don't let your mind wander. Poor beliefs blind you to the potential and true destiny God has for you. And I see poor beliefs and thinking, and I know we've come out of a 40-day negativity fast, and that is so, so important. And I feel like people who have wrong beliefs or poor beliefs about God, it's like they're running their race and they're blindfolded. They're not seeing the way that God sees them, and so they're just running, but there's no purpose, there's no that they can't see accurately where and what God has for them. If you have a call and a destiny on your life to be an artist, but your belief system is that God doesn't like art and he doesn't want me to train and get good at that skill, that is a blindfold to your destiny and your race. If you have that belief system that God does not like art, that's a significant blindfold that you're wearing. If you have that poor belief, that is completely shutting you off from the race that you are supposed to be running. Today, I feel some people are going to have their spiritual posture realigned. They are going to throw off the things that are keeping them hunched over and begin to run their race with a posture of confidence and intentionality. The next key, if we can go back to Hebrews. Okay, so we've done the great cloud of witnesses. We've done the let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And the next part says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I said earlier that I feel like there are so many Christians out there that are sitting on the sidelines of their own race. They've lost the ability to persevere. And I don't think that they are sitting on the sidelines of their race on purpose. They've just let little things take them out. It could be disappointment, offense, an argument. You can have an argument take you out of your race for a week easily. And I've been having this conversation with God, and I'm like, God, I don't want to have anything come in the way of me going after you and running my race with purpose and intentionality, even for an hour, a minute. If there's something that's blocking that purpose in that life that you have for me, reveal it. Let's get it out of the road and let's keep running. But there are Christians that have spent years sitting on the sidelines of their race, years, and it's so sad. They have such an amazing calling and destiny on their life. Each of us has a unique personality, gifting mix, passions, and history. God has designed a specific race for each of us to run, and no one can substitute in for you. You're the only one that can run your race. I'll never forget Bill Johnson in school in Reading. I think it was during second year. He came into class and he looked at everyone, and it was like this charge that he was giving us. And he said, anyone can be on fire in here. Anyone. Come to me in 25 years and tell me you're still burning. I always have that in my mind, that I always want to be burning. I don't want to fizzle out. I want to keep that purpose and that intentionality in my race with God. This race that we're in, your specific race that you have, it's not a sprint. It's long distance. And the final key after let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us is verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is the most important step. This here is the real key. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, our perspective changes. Everything shifts when you have locked eyes with him. And it's like, you're it. Our world, our environment, adjusts to heaven's perspective when our eyes are fixed on him. You know the story of Peter trying to walk on water towards Jesus? And he wasn't looking at Jesus at first. He was looking at his situation, the waves, the possibilities of everything that could go wrong at that minute. And if I was Peter, I probably would have been doing the same thing. Looking at the waves, wondering how deep that water is. When he looked at Jesus, that's when everything shifted. That's when he could walk. That's when he could run towards God, was when he was actually looking at him, not looking at his environment. You know that old song that goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's such a beautiful song. Turn your eyes on Jesus, and everything else is just going to fade away. One glimpse of Jesus makes you want to run your race. And I want us to look at a familiar verse that I'm pretty sure most of us will know, but let's look at it anyway. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 31. This is one of my favorite scriptures. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. This is a very familiar verse for most of us. And I want to just highlight the difference between waiting on the Lord and waiting for the Lord. If you're waiting for someone, that usually involves a passive sort of stance to it. I'm waiting for someone. And there's usually like this feeling of, I'm waiting for God. You're sitting there, passive, twiddling your thumbs, saying, come on, God. But this verse is not like that. You're waiting on the Lord. On the Lord involves communication. You're actually communicating with him. You're waiting on him. There's not this passivity to it. You are doing something with God. So even if you feel like you're in a season of waiting, fix your eyes on Jesus and start communicating with him. That you're running your race right there if you have your eyes fixed on him. Back in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. What God starts, he finishes. The dreams and passions that God has placed on the inside of you, he wants to finish. If we are feeling weary and losing heart, God doesn't. And then further in that verse, it says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, endured its shame. What was the joy that was set before him? It was you and I. We are the joy that was set before him as he went to that cross and endured everything that he went through. And now God is the joy that is set before us as we are running our race. We get to run our race with God. And this morning, I hope you feel God's joy and delight as he looks on you and looks at the race that you are in. Feel God's joy and delight as you discover your unique race and calling. God, outside of time, has been looking forward to this moment when you would run your race. God is outside of time, and he sees all of humanity and all their unique races. And he has been waiting for your moment, your 100 years, however long you think or want to be on this planet, 100 plus or minus, however long it is. God has been looking forward to your moment of running your race. You have a cloud of witnesses cheering you on. You have the ability to throw off things that are hindering you. You can run with perseverance. You can set your eyes on Jesus. And by doing all these things, the end result is that we don't get weary and we don't lose heart. Those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. That continual focus on God and fellowship with him causes us to renew our strength. So I want us to end now. If you would like prayer or ministry, I would love to pray for you. Especially if you feel like you have been on that moving conveyor belt with all the luggage, that picture that I shared earlier, and that you've been kind of sitting on the sidelines of your own race with all your luggage, and that it's time to throw off the things that are hindering and start running. So thank you guys.